With Memorial Day just around the corner, many families across the nation will kick off summer with a trip to the beach. Whether it's a pond, river, lake, or even the ocean, there's a lot of fun to be had playing in and around the water, but there's also an element of danger. According to a new report from the group Safe Kids Worldwide, an estimated 1,000 children fatally drown in a single year in the United States. Many more end up hospitalized. The majority of these drownings take place during the summer months, and most of them take place on the open water versus places like swimming pools or bathtubs. So what should kids and parents know before hitting the beach this summer? Morag Mackay joins us now. She's the director of research at Safe Kids Worldwide and lead author of the group's new study, Hidden Hazards, an exploration of open water drowning and risks for children. Morag, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
So we talked about it a little bit there. Put it into context for us. How big of a problem is childhood drowning here in the United States?
Well, it's a pretty big issue, actually. It's one of the leading causes of unintentional injury deaths across the country. And although the risk varies by age, it does come up as one of the leading causes in every single age group. And, you know, 1,000 children a year dying is big, and we have at least another 7,000 going to emergency departments. So we sort of estimate that about 150 families a week are being impacted by either a tragic or a really frightening event.
I think when people think drowning, they think of maybe swimming pools first, and that can be a concern. But your report focuses on open water in particular. Why is that?
Well, you're right. A lot of people do a lot of thinking about pools in the summer when it comes to drowning prevention, but we wanted to have a look at the data. And in fact, when we did, we saw that actually surprising to many people, there are more open water drownings than there are drownings that occur in pools. It's about 43% of fatalities occur in open water. And by open water, we include both natural water like lakes, rivers, and the ocean, as well as man-made water like reservoirs, irrigation canals, and that sort of thing, compared to pools, which was at about 38% of all injuries.
What is it that makes open water potentially more dangerous, even if we think, oh, our kid is a solid swimmer, they do fine in the pool?
I think the thing is that the pool has, you know how big it is, you know the depth of it, and it's usually a smaller area that you're dealing with. But when it comes to open water, we've got things like limited visibility. The water can be murky. If you've ever gone swimming in a river or a lake, you know it's not always crystal clear. And that, number one, can hide hazards such as rocks and logs or sudden drop-offs. You know, as you're walking in the water, suddenly you get a big drop-off, and a child that's been walking and having fun can suddenly be under the water. And in addition, if a child does get in trouble and they do end up starting to drown, then they're less visible if that water is murky. But the other thing you have are things like distances. You often hear of stories where people start swimming and they get out so far and they don't realize how far they've gone, and they turn around and look for the shore and suddenly realize that it's much further than they're able to get back to. And then, of course, open water has things like currents or in the ocean tides, which can also create hazards for people. And finally, open water tends to be colder. So that can sap a child's energy, and again, they can be swimming, and you might think they've always done fine in the pool, but when they get out in open water, it can cause problems.
I want to spend some time on prevention. That's a big focus of your report. What should kids and parents know before that trip to the beach?
First of all, we really recommend that families use designated swimming and recreational areas whenever possible. At those areas, professionals have assessed it. There are usually signs posted around any hazards that exist, and often there'll also be lifeguards. And that's just an added layer of protection if you're out enjoying the water. Secondly, we always talk about the importance of supervision, especially with young children and inexperienced swimmers. They should be within arm's reach of an adult. But even for older kids, you should really have somebody. You know, mom might be doing one thing, dad might be doing another. Make a decision between the two of you who's watching the kids for that period of time. You can switch off, but ensure there's always someone that's making that their priority. We also talk about the importance of ensuring kids learn how to swim. Every child is different, but we sort of say after age 4, it's really important that kids start to learn how to swim. Before that, there are certainly classes that get them used to water, but research suggests that it's as of age 4 where they're really able to start to learn how to swim. And I think another really important one when we're talking about open water is learning water rescue skills and CPR. If you're at the pool, not so far to reach a child in open water, it might be a little bit further. And those basic rescue skills really help you how to learn how to respond in an emergency without putting yourself at risk at the same time. Because I think we've all heard of those stories where a child gets into trouble and another child tries to help them and they get in trouble and then an adult tries to help and they get in trouble. So learn those basic water rescue skills. Keep yourself safe as you're trying to rescue someone, and then learn CPR, because if you can start CPR before the emergency medical services arrive, you're increasing the likelihood that a child will survive.
Morag Mackay is with us from Save Kids Worldwide. We're talking about safety on the water for kids this summer, especially out on the open water. Morag, I want to get back to the numbers you share in your group's new report. Some differences among different groups of kids. First of all, boys, way more likely to be victims of drowning. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's about 8 out of the 10 open water drowning victims are males. So this is probably something about how we socialize boys in terms of they tend to take more risks. And it may also be that as they get older, we're less likely to supervise them. And we certainly see a huge difference between the number of boys and girls who drown each summer.
And then you also find out that there are racial disparities in drowning. Can you talk about that a little?
Yes. In our research, we found that African-American children are twice as likely to fatally drown in open water compared to their white counterparts. And for American Indian children, that's an even higher risk at about 2.4 times the risk. There is research that suggests this is likely due to a difference in access to both swimming lessons and opportunities to swim in pools. So that they may be accessing open water more often for their water recreational activities, but certainly they also are less likely to be able to swim to begin with, which puts them at greater risk.
We talked about what individual families can do. Are there outreach efforts that you'd like to see at the national level to help bring those drowning numbers down?
Well, there has been a lot done to make pool safety, but of course, open water is a different proposition because we can't really address standards for it. But what we do really talk about is the importance of personal flotation devices for folks that are going out and doing water recreational activities. There is a requirement for all waters where the Coast Guard is responsible that anybody 13 and under is wearing a life jacket or personal flotation device. For other settings where it's not the Coast Guard, it varies state to state, and that can vary between age 6 to 16. So we would really like to see that age increase. And in fact, we recommend that anybody that's out on the water participating in a water recreational activity wears a life jacket or personal flotation device that's appropriate for their weight and the activity that they're participating in.
And Marek, I wanted to get to one more suggestion, one more point you raise in the report. When you're watching your kids, when you're watching to make sure they're not drowning, a lot of us don't know what drowning looks like. We have it exactly wrong.
Yes, I think part of that is that Hollywood and television has led us to believe that you're going to see lots of waving and yelling and splashing when someone starts to drown. But in fact, for children in particular, when they begin to struggle in the water, something called the instinctive drowning response kicks in. And what this means is that older children are not going to be able to wave their arms because they are extending them out to the side, pressing down on the water just to try and keep themselves lifted out of up out of the water so that their mouth is above the water and they're able to breathe. But younger children don't even have the strength to do this specific response. So they often remain just in the water with little or no movement in their arms and legs, and they certainly can't yell because they're just trying to breathe. So it's often quiet. It happens extremely quickly. And once that whole process begins, it can take less than 20 seconds before a child starts to sink below the surface. So it's fast and it's silent, and that's scary. And that's one thing we really want parents to understand, is they aren't likely to see a lot of yelling, splashing, or waving. It's going to be quiet, and it's going to happen quickly.
Morag, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Mareg Mackay, Director of Research at Safe Kids Worldwide, lead author of the group's new study, Hidden Hazards, an exploration of open water drowning and risks for children.